Well, welcome to See Here Love as we continue our Unknown Women of the Bible series with good friends and Bible teachers from across Canada, here to share with you the stories of 10 inspiring and unknown women from the Bible. Women who were freedom fighters, warriors, engineers, and architects, strategic planners with an entrepreneurial spirit who forever altered history. And today is our third episode and third study of this series as we learn about Shira, a woman who designed and built cities. But before we get to the study, make sure you download this free study guide at seeherelove.com/unknownwomenstudy so you and your Bible study group or small group can follow along with the questions as we learn together. So, episode 3, study number 3, this unknown woman of the Bible, a woman who built a strong foundation in the midst of adversity. Well, welcome back again together for study number 3, you guys. Yay. How you feeling?
Good.
Yeah? So much that we've learned in the last while as we've leaned in, had conversation. We had a lot of wows the past sessions. Wow, I can't believe it. So glad to have you all. But if it's your first time with us, let's do some introduction. Anne Miranda, pastor, leader of leaders, speaker, and champion of women. Go, girl.
Let's go.
Anne Voskamp, author of 4 New York Times bestsellers, Mama to 7, wife of one fine farmer, and a blogger. Helen Burns, pastor, relationship expert, podcaster, and speaker. Welcome. And Tryphena Purimala Gagnon, podcaster and speaker, mom to 2, who loves chocolate.
That's like the most important one, right?
Yes, loves chocolate. Well, Tryphena, right to you. I mean, you're the one who will be leading us as we look at the unknown woman, Shira. Now, first off, when I say Shira, I think people are like, oh, so that's Shira, but that's not the Shira.
Well, see, okay, so okay. When I think Shira, I think, you know, superhero. This is my brown Shira, like my coloring sheet. I had this literally put on my bulletin board above my desk.
Okay.
Because, you know, the kids and I had colored it. My girlfriend.
Here, hold it up though, so everybody else can see it.
Oh, hold on. Let's make sure
well.
We get it. Okay,
yep.
All right.
Because if you grew up in like the 80s,
this is Shira. This is Shira, right? This was significant. So my girlfriend just turned 42, threw herself a birthday party that was Shira themed. So I come home with my coloring sheet, having the best day ever, and Mel calls and she's like, so we're gonna do Unknown Women of the Bible, and we're talking about Shira. And I'm like, I did not know Shira was in the Bible. So, literally unknown to me. But so if you're like me, I got you, okay? So here we go. We're gonna kick it off. First Chronicles chapter 7, verse 23 to 24. I'm reading from the NLT. So afterward, we're gonna come back to this afterward because that is loaded. Ephraim slept with his wife and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Ephraim named him Beriah because of the tragedy his family had suffered. He had a daughter named Shira. She built the towns of Lower and Upper Beth Horon and Uzen Shira. Okay. So what's the after? I know it's a lot in two sentences, right? Mm-hmm. What is the afterward? So we step in verse 23, but really in verse 21, we see Ephraim, his entire generation of children, go out. They're hanging out. They decide they're going to go steal some livestock, steal some cattle, and they are all killed. It's like a very jarring start. So this is the emotional energy we're stepping into. This is like the just the chaos a little bit. Can you imagine the pain of Ephraim? He's lost not just one child, but all of his children. Mm-hmm. He's also navigating the mental gymnastics of my kids may not have been making the best decisions if they're trying to steal livestock. Legacy would have been so important. He's lost the entire generation, all of his legacy, all of his economic planning, like all of his pension plans, his RRSPs, this was it.
Gone.
And they're all gone.
Wow.
And so in that, so then of course he goes to his wife, they're pregnant, and she births Beriah, whose name literally talks about the tragedy his family has suffered. They're very much still in that space. And then comes Shira. Now, we're a little iffy about whether Shira is Beriah's daughter or Ephraim's daughter. There's different theologians who disagree. But what we know about her is she's part of that lineage. She is a descendant of that family and she carries their heritage. Mm-hmm. And what's so interesting is her name means to be a remnant, a small but perpetually surviving portion of a much larger original mass that was eliminated.
Wow.
So that's what she's walking into.
Wow.
She's walking into this emotional space that is complicated. It's painful, and her name itself speaks to that. It's you are all that is left. There's almost a what are you gonna do with that added to the back of that. Now, I don't understand that level of emotional confusion. I was born to my parents as their first child after 5 miscarriages. And they never put anything on me. There was never a, you need to do something with your life. If anything, they celebrated me. Like, birthday month is still very much a thing in our family, much the chagrin of my husband and children. But we do it, and it's December, so it's a thing. But as I got older, I had to work through what did that look like to come into loss, to come into pain, and what weight and expectation did I put on myself that they didn't give me. So I can only imagine what Shira's walking into, what expectations she's put on herself. Also, she is, whether Ephraim was her father or grandfather, Joseph was his father. Joseph from the amazing Technicolor coat, Joseph who was in Egypt, Joseph who married an Egyptian woman, he married an African woman. Shira would have been a mixed race woman in a time and space when it wasn't culturally appropriate and quite frowned upon to marry outside of your race. So she's walking a very unique identity. Wow. And so again, I don't understand the mixed race identity, but I'm raising 2 biracial children who from the time they were 3, they were asking me the questions about their ethnicity and about why the shades are different. Like, they very much are aware that they are Indian and French Canadian, and I will not be able to understand that. So she's walking a very unique path. It's emotionally charged, it's very unique, and then we get a hint of what her life looked like. We don't get all of it, but the little bit is she built the towns of Lower and Upper Beth Horon and Uzen Shira. So not only are we a space where, you know, interracial marriages wouldn't have been acceptable, but it was still a patriarchal space. It wasn't expected of her or allowed of her to lead, to build cities. And this isn't building like in my millennial, I'm gonna scroll Pinterest and find like a focal wall, put it in my bedroom, go through like the hundreds of shades of white.
That's not building?
Listen, to me that's building. But then I look at this and I'm like, you're building a city. You have to find the right land. You have to think of the agriculture. You have to think of the security. What are the walls? You have to think of where the housing is. Is there a market square? Is there irrigation? Is there sewage? Like, all of the details. She was a logistical mastermind. And she thought through all of that. And then you can't just build a city by yourself. I mean, I can't build a focal wall by myself. But you can't build a city. You have to hire people. You have to, I'm blanking.
Your engineers.
Your engineers, thank you. Yes. Your architects, your tradespeople. And you have to not only hire them, you have to lead them. So she was someone who was high capacity, who was leading, and didn't just build one city, but did it 3 times.
Yes.
And it's so significant because Lower and Upper Beth Horon come back in scripture. We see when Joshua was in battle and the sun stood still, that happened between Lower and Beth Horon.
No, really?
Yeah, right. Like the stuff that we just don't even, like, I didn't even know, right? Like, I grew up in Christian school in a pastor's home. I did not know this story. This was the story I needed, right? It comes back, it's Solomon. When Solomon talks about rebuilding cities, these are the cities he rebuilt. I almost laughed when I read it though, because I'm like, isn't it funny that Solomon gets the credit? Like, how often do men get credit for our anyway, that's a whole other tangent.
That's another Bible study
that's
series.
Bible. Okay. But the foundations were strong enough that he was able to build on them. And to this day, these foundations are visible in the West Bank. So they are still visible in places where perpetual, like where pain is happening. And she had built them strong enough. And then my favorite is Uzen Shira, because she goes and she builds her 3rd city and names it not only after herself, but Uzen Shira means listen to Shira.
Okay, how many of you would, if you were building a city, name a city after yourself?
Yes.
I would.
Yes.
And you won't? You wouldn't? I'm like, I didn't even hesitate. I'm like, I would
absolutely
name a city after myself.
I'm guessing I would.
And you're all like,
no, I think I might have. Okay. Like, hello.
It's on my bucket list to have a street named after me or a nail polish. Like, I'm here for either.
Either one, but there is a street named after, no, not after me, but named my name in Toronto, but I pretend it was named after me. But we'll leave that. But I get that.
Okay.
Right.
Uzen Shira literally means listen to Shira.
Listen to Shira.
Yes, okay.
Listen to Shira. So there's so much to that, right? In a space where women weren't listened to, she's like, listen to me. But also I'm like, you almost sound like a fed up woman who's like, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Like, I don't know what it was like with her tradespeople and all the individuals she was leading. Was she constantly being questioned? To me, I see that and I see a confident woman who's audacious in her authority and she's like, listen, I know what I'm talking about. And the ramifications of that through scripture are just wild, of learning to listen to women. So I'm sitting with all this and I'm like, I can't help but also think of going back to Joseph. So she grew up in a, you know, emotionally charged space with a unique identity. She made some audacious countercultural decisions. But if you look back at whether it was her great-grandfather or her grandfather, he was someone who experienced great pain. He was sold into slavery, imprisoned wrongly, and then like sat in that for years. And then in that, went on to build warehouses for Egypt, save the land from financial ruin, from famine, from like imminent death, and became one of the most powerful people in the land. So she would have, I imagine, have grown up in a space where, yes, she's experiencing her pain, but she's also heard of real people who sit in their pain and who she's seen God's redemption in their life as well. And so I wonder what audacity that gave her to show up in the ways that she showed up. And I also just wonder then, what is it to us to hear the stories of people who have walked through pain, sat in their pain, sat in their grief, and also yet seen God's redemption? It may not have looked the way we wanted it to, but they've seen it. And then it frees us up to go and build the audacious things.
Okay. So that's a lot.
It is a lot.
Wow.
So then with that, I'm going to throw it out to all of you. Like, what stands out to you? What about Shira just bubbles up to the surface for you?
So much.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That just feels like revelatory so much. So many words feel like they're just popping in my head and creating this fire. But I loved what you said about the foundation she built were strong enough for Solomon to go and to rebuild and to strengthen. And I feel like so often we just give it a go, but we don't really build in a way that actually has sense of what I am doing today has actually got eternity attached to it. That what the choices I'm making, putting my hand up to build a city or three cities in this case, we never know what's on the other side of that choice. But when we are willing to do it and to do it well, so as you talked, she had to orchestrate and lead and bring teams together. And that's often what we're called to do as leaders, is to bring those teams together, those people that can be a part of it, and then build something that is not for the moment, but is sustainable. I know even when I go to parts of the world where I sit in a church that's 1,000 or 1,200 years old and it's still standing. Yeah. We don't have a lot of those references here in Canada, but what we're doing today, even in this moment, is bigger than the moment. Yes. We are building something that has a foundation that has an eternal weight to it.
That's so good. It's true. The impact of our decisions.
And Helen, I like that because a lot of times we're like, I'm going to do this and it's for that time. It's for that moment without thinking legacy, generations, you know, the history, the lineage, you know, because a lot of times we're kind of like in, and listen, in the present and the moment is good, but I think you're right. It's like, did she know? No.
She couldn't
know that
imagine.
These cities would have that, you know, kind of presence and impact for years to come.
Absolutely.
That's so encouraging though for a lot of us who are like, is this even matter? What I do for God or what I do, does it even matter in the next year to 10 years?
I've asked myself that so many times over the years, raising children.
Yes.
The little details, the things that I do, and I've thought, you know, tucking them into bed at night, praying with them yet again, the little things we've done in building church that sometimes it feels, does anyone else see it? Does it really matter? Well, God sees it, and every action that we do for the purposes of the kingdom, they matter, and they matter eternally.
Yes.
I think even in the parenting sphere, we talk so much of, you know, my parents went through so much, healed up so much generationally, and they went so far, but almost their ceiling, and not in a disrespectful way, becomes my floor.
It should
like
be.
You get to keep building on each other, but the next generation can't build if the generation behind them hasn't done their stuff. Sorry.
Oh no, so good. I guess for me, sometimes when a new year starts, you kind of pick a word to kind of embody your year and give it vision. And my word for the year, or this year, is complete.
Write that down.
I actually wanted to like get in a white tattoo that kind of fades after a while, right here. Because it's kind of twofold. One, can I complete? It's a nicer way of than saying execute. My husband did not think I should have executed.
No.
But can you complete the task at hand? Here's a woman who executed, who completed, not just once, twice, three times. So she had a vision, and then she did what she had to do to actually complete the vision. And then I think for me personally, just to remember, it's not just about completing what I've been called to do. The underside of that, the twofold part of, I'm completing Christ. So you're not trying to strive for your identity. So I think the beautiful part is she's executing and she's completing. And I think my own caution for my own soul is your identity isn't in that.
Yeah.
Your identity is in the fact that you're complete in Christ. So what an inspiration for someone who could have a blueprint, cast a vision, delegate the people, and then make it happen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes.
So good.
So good. I'm observing that this type of woman who can complete these types of tasks really knows her worth in the kingdom. Mm. And like, she knew where she came from. She knew her lineage.
Yeah.
We're unsure, and theologians are unsure, but she knew where she came
good.
From.
Yeah, that's good.
And she also knew what was like ahead, like the generations that were unseen.
Yeah.
And so that she was part of something that was grander than that moment. I think she understood that as I kind of read into the text. But it seemed like she's such a planner.
Yeah.
She worked hard. Mm-hmm. She was strategic. And I'm just thinking how intentional she must have been to create and then to rally people around.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those that go, whoa, okay. There were lives changed in that moment and lives that continue to be changed because of, again, what she did. There seems to be in their studies a pattern of women who rise up and of women who understand their legacy.
Yeah.
And the kingdom legacy more than just their personal legacy.
And they don't have to know all of the details of that legacy.
No.
They just understand that my decisions have a generational impact. I might not see two and three generations out here at all, but I'm reminded of when someone builds, thousands of people to build a cathedral. And you're building something beautiful way up high at the top of a pillar that nobody can see, but it matters to God.
Yep.
Like all of this is an act of worship to the Lord. So the thing that you're doing, you do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord, giving your very, very best, not knowing exactly how it's going to impact generations from now.
Absolutely.
The thing too that I love, and you had this in your notes, Tryphena, is that it's the love the archetype of her as a strong woman doing her thing regardless of adversity.
Absolutely.
So I sit and think, can you imagine her going, I have this idea to build the first city.
Yeah.
And imagine the pushback,
yeah.
the people rolling their eyes, the opposition she would have faced. Mm-hmm. Men and others saying, I will not be led by her.
Yeah.
Like, how does she know what to do?
Absolutely.
And then I think this is really important, that it wasn't just one city.
No.
And it wasn't two cities.
She kept going.
It was three cities. Maybe that's why she named
that even take?
I know, maybe that's why she named the third city finally, like, listen to me, I've done this before.
Yes.
Like, clearly it's worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you can listen to me. But what I mean is, how many times have I looked at something and, you know, over my life and was like, that's too hard.
Mm.
That's gonna be too much work. So I don't know the details. This is exhausting. Will I have the resources? Will I get the funding?
Yeah.
Will I? Yeah. And we just, and it paralyzes us. It stops us from dreams and fears. And so for her, it's like, yes.
Yeah.
What an example of somebody who is like, I know where I've come from. I have all of this, though, adversity around me and opposition, but I still will.
And you're in it for the long haul.
And you're in it for the long, because you're right. How long would it take for a city to be built?
The
I don't know, actually. I don't know. I know, it could be years and years and years and years.
Yeah. The beautiful thing is, what did she learn after she built the first city that she does differently for the second city? That she goes, and I learned more and I'm doing it differently for the third. As opposed to going, I failed at this, I should just give up. Actually, this was a learning process and we'll do it even differently when we get to the next one.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And I think I'm stuck with the idea of doing something for the long haul. Even you were talking about how many times during parenting, you're like, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And I think back to even... like, okay, so you're snuggling your kid into bed, right? It's a really little act, or it feels like a really insignificant act. What are you doing in terms of building their attachment, building their mental health?
Yes.
That then as
yes.
they go into the world as adults, completely changes how they show up in the world.
Wow.
What is it as even as they get older, right? I was thinking even when you talk about the long haul, when I had a newborn, I remember feeling completely overwhelmed.
Mm.
And I had a friend say, you know what, give it 4 years. 4 years, you're gonna start like you feel like you have your life together again. I don't know if I ever felt like I had my life together again. And I remember sitting in that moment being so depressed, being like, 4 years is like, I can't do it. I cannot sit in this for 4 years.
Mm.
But if I hadn't stuck through for the long haul, if I hadn't persevered, and that's parenting. That's not building like a city or starting a show or building a corporation.
Or planting a church.
Or planting
like
a church,
Ellen.
Right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely, there's so, or writing a book, like whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things that we can birth in us, but being in it for the long haul, and I think just becoming comfortable with adversity. I think as women, we have had to become comfortable with adversity, but comfortable in the pain. Mm-hmm. Most of like, oh yeah, it's gonna be hard sometimes. Then we're gonna roll. Mm-hmm.
I think for her, it's really, she couldn't get away from it. It was her name.
Yeah.
Like, names are so important.
So important.
In the Bible. We were talking in previous, in the series, how, like, we stop at the little words, like, but. This verse starts with then, and what's after that. And but names are just as important to pay attention to and to try to unpack. So when you're saying that her name means remnant or small, but being part of a bigger mass or multitude, like, she can't ignore that. It's her name. She knows that she's part of something bigger than herself, so that she's a little part of something big.
It's beautiful.
Just, whoa.
So my name means delicate and delicious, so it doesn't really help me with any of this.
Delicate and delicious.
Just like chocolate.
You won't know what you're, just like chocolate.
That's like chocolate.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm like,
wait a second, what are
like,
the names here? Okay, Helen, well, what is
my name, Helen means light, bearer of light.
Okay, yes.
Which is 100% your, okay. Like what you've done in the world.
Right, okay, bearer of light.
And
full of grace, but I always have in me.
Okay, so maybe the names are what you're to aspire to
by
be.
God.
Yes, by God. Yes. Mine, Melinda.
Yeah.
My beautiful.
Perfect.
That's beautiful.
Is there, I know.
Is there a different definition?
Yes.
For Anne without an E.
I've seen the same thing. Yeah, but you know,
I was doing a study actually this fall. Yes, and full of grace, but Mary comes from Anne too, favored one, which is very
beautiful.
Wow. Yeah.
The importance of names.
It really is. Favored one of God. And that's something. Wow. I mean, I think when we think of names, it's a benediction and a bestowing. It's casting a vision. And it's a beautiful thing to think how the Lord has actually made that all come to be in each of our lives.
Yes.
All right. So when we're talking about things coming to be, so Shira spent her life living audaciously, very countercultural what she did. So my question for you is, what is in you that you feel like God is birthing that is countercultural? That seems very vulnerable.
Wow. What is
Are there values that you feel called to build?
I'm always like, I'll go.
I love it.
38 years ago, I stepped into something that was so counterculture, and that was to be a co-lead with my husband as pastors. Yeah. And so a woman, I had never seen a woman do what I did, so and I bucked against it, but I'm glad I stepped into it. And I feel today there are many women that have seen me over the years that I think feel like, if she can, so can I. So I wasn't the obvious, but I said yes, and I love that I did.
I love
only God. Not because I'm so great, but God is good in what he's done through that.
Yes. Beautiful. So powerful. Yes. Beautiful legacy. And Helen, that's beautiful.
There's so much courage in that, to step into something new that you haven't seen others do before.
No, I hadn't.
That's powerful.
I didn't even know I was allowed to, but let's go. Let's do it. Let's do something.
Not waiting for permission anymore.
We as a family bought a little church in our little hometown about 2 hours away from here that was built in 1896, and we've been in the process of renovating that stone church. Generational. I don't know who built that church, and I don't know their stories and 125 years of those beams up over top and the praise that they've heard. But we want, as a family, want to be part of restoring that, to bring restoration to a community, because God is a God of restoration and giving us giving us a new story. So I think each generation is called to, how can we be part of a restoration story that changes the legacy moving forward?
I love that.
Beautiful.
And I love that church.
It's very fitting for Shira.
I know,
it's like,
it is.
Right?
You're doing it as a family. Yes. I mean, there's something so beautiful about
that. Yeah, and partnering with the Salvation Army and the United Way, reaching out to those who are vulnerably housed so that they have washroom facilities and showering facilities and a place to do their laundry and warm meals. So really, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Yeah. So you're building a place that is about actually building up the body of Christ. So.
Beautiful. Oh, that's so powerful. Mm.
Wow, I'm going to take more like nuclear to my home and go shift the other way, because I want to go. Anyway, so I think my building or my audaciousness is to really pour into these. So I do have two littles. They're not so little anymore. They're teenagers. But I'm seeing that next gen like 13-year-old little girl that is living in my home and what navigating life looks like, and how do I point to her and her friends and the people that are in that circle of her life and influence. And so I think that's what's been giving me the heart for the next generation is seeing her in my space and the challenges and the victories and all the things. And so that's where my brain is at right now.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And heart.
And I love that it starts hyper local. Sorry, Mo.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was like, I think I love that it starts hyper local because it really does start with where, like we talked about it with JL, like what's in your hand, what's in front of you.
Yes.
Your family's in front of you.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
You know, just sitting around looking at all of you here on the set, this is what I'm building.
Yeah, you are.
And I'm grateful, you know, for the organization like Crossroads that believes in me and all the people that it takes like an entire community to make this happen.
Yeah.
And I feel every day when I'm sitting here like honored and privileged and just blessed to do this. Mm-hmm. And my hope is that we, you know, this space is to do Bible studies, to encourage young women in study and get them excited about scripture. It's to get diverse voices and faces representing and ages and cultures to speak about their life with Jesus. You know, we were getting emails and people were saying, you're like our online mentors. You're representing me in my stage in life or in my culture. And and so it is, sometimes I do feel the weight, but I also know that this is what God has called me for this season to build, to grow, to expand, and hopefully reach women and men who need to be encouraged by scripture and to be drawn to Jesus. I couldn't do life without him. No. And I think that's the key.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. I'm just continuing to build.
Oh, I love that so much. It's so amazing to see all of you build. I think in my life, it's very similar to you. And right now, it's a lot of family focus, right? And because mine are still little and they've had a hard year. And so that's what I'm building into. But what I'm realizing is it's so countercultural to slow down to the level that we've had to slow down to say no to the things we've had to say no to, to even like being a first gen immigrant, it's in my bones to hustle. Like I'm not, you know, like to slow down feels so counterintuitive. So it's such a practice of mindfulness in the process.
Amazing.
Well done, Mama.
Exactly.
Beautiful. Thank you, Tri. That was wonderful in the facilitation. But I feel like we need to end with a prayer. So Anne, there's a prayer in our week three in our study guide to end this study. Right here, you've got it? Okay. So why don't we like end this study with the prayer.
Prayer from Psalm 9, 1 to 2 and 7 to 10. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. The Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Rafina, Helen, Anne, light and deliciousness and favor and beauty all together. And don't forget to download to you our study guide. This one, everybody's got it. It's all crumpled now. Our Unknown Women of the Bible study guide. Please download this at seeherlove.com/unknownwomenstudy. And as we have remembered and learned from Shira, know that you are also seen, heard, and deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Join the host of See, Hear, Love, Melinda Estabrooks, as she invites women from across Canada to share their stories and lived experiences, their journeys of faith, their challenges, and wisdom, and to create a place of belonging, community, and where women come together to know they are seen, heard, and deeply loved by God.
Every one of you here is just like a miracle.
It's so important to be with people that encourage you.
Visit our website at seeherlove.com. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter for even more content.
See Hear Love thanks our partners who make this show possible.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Center for Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing See Hear Love. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R 4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.